Chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10 this morning. And usually we're going through books of the Bible. We just got through 1 Kings, and we've moved our series on 2 Kings and Elisha up to Sunday night. So tonight we'll be looking at Elisha in the beginning of his ministry. And on the month of September, as we get ready towards our Friend Day, we usually have messages leading up to that. So usually we have some type of theme for our Friend Day and to get excited about that. So we'll be having on the Sunday morning hour some topical messages all throughout the month of September leading up to our Friend Day. And it's talking about getting closer to Jesus. Getting closer to Jesus is the theme that goes along with that. And Mark chapter number 10, I'm going to start in verse number 46. For you that have been here for a number of years, know that I really like this passage of scripture. It's talking about blind Bartimaeus and talks about how when a preacher came, one of the times when I was a young person going through a difficult time in my life, on a Wednesday night, a preacher came across my church and preached a message about blind Bartimaeus. Don't really remember what the preacher said, but I know God worked in my heart about this story and something that God has helped me over the years with it as a source of encouragement. So as we look at blind Bartimaeus today, we like to think about this thought: we need God in our lives. We need God in our lives. So I look across the room, I see lots of people that probably have never heard me talk about blind Bartimaeus, so I'll give you a little bit of a background about me. I went to church all my life. My mom tells me I was in church 9 months before I was born, and I've been going to church my entire life for the most part, been very, very faithful to all 4 different services. At the age of 8 or 9, I think it's 9, the church records say 8, but I think I know better than the church records, at 9 years old, God convicted my heart during the revival time, convicted my heart of my sin, showed me I had need of a Savior. And even though I'd been going to church the majority of my life and even rode the bus a number of times up to that point, won Sunday school awards, things like that, God spoke to my heart and showed me that I needed a Savior. And I turned to God that night and asked Christ to save me, repented of my sins, and called out to God and asked Him. And that exact same night, I got baptized. So it was wonderful. Probably at the age of between 12 and 14, God called me to preach. And a couple different times, one time at a younger camp, one time at a teen camp, and I answered God's call by responding and saying yes. Many years, my teenage life, though, even though I did a lot of things for God, I never really truly surrendered my life to God. I said I was willing to be a pastor or a preacher, but many times I chose to live for myself. So those years, I got involved. At the age of 12, I started working on a bus route because I rode the bus anyway. It was just easy to do. And at the age of 12, I began to work in junior church. That kept all the way till I was 29. And I began doing many different things. I spoke in church as a teenager, was the youth group president. There was lots of different things that I could put on a resume of being a good church member. Even as I got into my early 20s, I began teaching an adult Sunday school class. They asked me to consider being a deacon and doing all types of things. But there was something missing in my life. Even though I was really, really active, there was a need in my life that wasn't really truly being met. And then I needed a closer walk with God. I was good. I dressed the part. I looked the part. I did all those things on Sunday morning, did all those things on Wednesday night. Actively evolved, but throughout the week, I was not as close to God as I was supposed to, or as I needed to be. There was something missing in my life. I needed God in every part of my life, not just parts of it. I used to think that God can be in this area and this area, but every other part of my life should be mine. About 24 or 25, God started really working in my heart. Went back to Bible college. I was trying to pacify God. I didn't really want to be a preacher because, you know, who would want to come listen to me? But God began working in my heart, and I knew I had to do something. So I went to Bible college to surrender to that. And as those next few years, our church hit some hard spots. Pastor, unfortunately, did something wrong. He had to resign from the ministry. He had done something morally wrong and kind of tore our church up apart. And on that Wednesday night, even though it wasn't Bible college, even though I was not only teaching inside the junior church and adult Sunday school class, and even at that point in time, the pastor that had to leave, I went and taught some of his Christian school classes. Had a little baby at the time, Christian. He's out in Oklahoma now. And all those different things going on in my life, God spoke to my heart about this passage of Scripture with this thought that I need God in my life. I can try to run things. I can try to do things on my own. I can try to keep all the balls going. But there was something that night that God spoke to me in a powerful way about how much I really, truly needed him. And not just in certain areas, but in my entire life. I needed to make him the supreme in my life. I needed to make him the preeminence. So as we look at this story, I know a few of you have heard me preach about Bartimaeus, and I'd like to look at it with fresh eyes again. Normally, when I preach a passage for a second time or a third time, I usually don't even go back and look at my old notes. And the reason why is because I want it to be something fresh and new for all of us. But I know the things that God has worked in my heart is something he's worked in many years. So as I tie in today a little bit about my life, but also hoping to be a blessing to you, just as that man was a blessing that Wednesday night to me. So let's go ahead and read the passage of Scripture. It's a short passage of Scripture. We're going to read it, tell the story a little bit, and we're going to look at this thought. We need God in our lives. A little forewarning, there are 7 points. Usually, you know, Baptist preachers only had 3 points. There are 7 points, so they're shorter points. And don't worry, if you listen well, we'll try to get through it good, and I think you'll enjoy the message this morning. We need God in our lives. Let's look here at Mark chapter number 10. I'd like you to picture the setting here. It's one of those stories you can picture with your mind, and I'll try to help you along with that. Verse number 6, and they came to Jericho. Who's they? They're referring to Jesus, his disciples, and the group that had been following him. And it says, and as he went out of Jericho, referring to Jesus, with his disciples and a great multitude of people. So picture this. Jesus is walking out of Jericho and surrounded by a great multitude of people. There's a huge number of people. I think you could easily say over 1,000. You say, Pastor, you're just a preacher. You like to make the numbers big. No, if you go to look at other times when people went to follow Jesus, they fed the 5,000 men that followed Jesus, and that not even counting the women and children. So I think very conservatively we can say it was in the hundreds, if not thousands, as they're there walking with Jesus. Jesus would probably be right in the middle. Around Jesus would probably be his close 12 disciples, or at least somewhere, maybe somewhere ahead making preparations. And inside the rest of the group, you would see people that were following Jesus to learn about Jesus. And inside this group, I think there's a couple different groups of people. I think, first of all, someone who wanted to hear what Jesus was teaching about. That's the reason why you'd walk with Jesus. And other people are people maybe who have been healed by Jesus. Up to this point in time, there have been people that had been healed by Jesus, and they were there following along to maybe worship him and say thank you and wanted to see where he was going. Most people that were healed by Jesus would then follow after him in some way, shape, or form. Then you also see that there's probably those there that were waiting to see the next miracle happen. You always draw a crowd by somebody performing a miracle. They can always get a crowd there. And then there's probably a group of people there that were not believers of Jesus, but more skeptics of Jesus. So imagine Jesus walking, and as he's walking, he is surrounded by a group of people, and he's headed to the next location. Verse number 47, we're introduced. Actually, at the end of verse number 46, we're introduced to one of our main characters. Obviously, Jesus is always the main character. He says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway side begging. So as you picture Jesus walking, I want you to think about blind Bartimaeus. Now, this blind Bartimaeus was a man who would be sitting by the side of the road yelling something like alms for the poor. Now, Bartimaeus was, back in this time period, was dependent upon people to help him be able to provide for himself and if he had a family. He's sitting on the side of the road every day of his life, probably except for the Sabbath, and asking alms for the poor, alms for the poor. He was dependent upon someone probably even to get to that spot and to be taken home from that spot, dependent upon people's generosity in order to give them something so he could have just daily food and meet his basic needs. So we see Bartimaeus there, and he's in a pretty bad spot. He would be considered someone in a desperate spot, asking and begging. It says blind Bartimaeus, and it actually says that he was begging. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, so we see as the story goes along, he hears that Jesus of Nazareth. He knows, he sees the crowds coming, he can anticipate the senses of someone who that are blind. Usually their senses of hearing is even greater. And as they're hearing this, he hears commotion coming. As he hears this commotion, he hears that Jesus is coming. Now, that would be something unique and interesting for a blind person because he had heard the stories about who Jesus was. Jesus was an individual and a person who was able to heal the blind and heal the sick, even to raise the dead. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming, he said he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He recognizes that Jesus can help him. He begins to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He begins to beg Jesus to come and help him. Now, you would think of the thousand people that are around him that everybody would stop and they would get blind Bartimaeus and they say, okay, Bartimaeus, you need Jesus more than anybody does. Let's go find him. Let's see if you can help him. But that's not what happens. Look what it says in verse number 48. It says in actually, verse number 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. They ask here, there, he's blind, he has no other hope, no other help but Jesus, and they say to him, be quiet. In all reality, they tell him, you need to shut up. Jesus doesn't have time for you. You're not important enough, that he doesn't care about you. Don't leave him alone. He's got more important things to do. You see it right there in the scriptures. It says that many charged him, not just one that's being rude, but many. And inside that group where people were followers, people who had been helped before. And it says many had charged him that he should hold his peace. But what does he do? I like this. He says he doesn't listen to him. He said, but he cried the more a great deal. He cried out louder. He didn't care what anybody else said, didn't care what anybody else thought. Nothing was going to stop him from getting to see Jesus, or at least do his part in seeing him. He cried out the more a great deal. And then he says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49 might be my favorite part of the message, or the favorite part of this passage of scripture. It says, and Jesus stood still. And now once again, there is a thousand people probably around him, if not more. And it says that he hears the cries of one blind man. Now, if we were honest with ourselves, there's people all around Jesus, people trying to talk to him, people trying to get his attention in that little group. And in the greater group, in the greater group, there's no way he could have heard blind Bartimaeus. But the wonderful thing is, he's God. He hears the cries of those that are calling out to him. And the amazing thing is, it says that he stood still. Imagine all the things that are going on, all the people that there he could help, all the things that were happening around him, people buying for his attention. And it says that he stood still. And then it continues on, and it says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He says, I want to hear him. I want to see him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, verse number 50 is kind of interesting to me. It says, casting away his garment. Now, this garment is something that's precious to him. Most of us would think, okay, if I cast away my jacket, I can go get another one some other day. I can just go to a store and buy one. Bartimaeus is different because, in fact, as a beggar, he does not have many resources. If you go and you study this out a little bit, there are some people who said that the garments that the beggar would have worn is something that would have been specifically made for beggars to let them know who they was. And that when Bartimaeus took off that garment and cast it aside, he believed he was not going to stay a beggar much longer. He believed that Jesus was going to help him. So he cast aside that thing that was hindering him from getting to Jesus. And he goes to Jesus, and look what happens as he goes up to Jesus. He says that as he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, to me, I think this is interesting. Jesus looks at the blind man who had been crying out for mercy. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? What wilt thou do, have me do for thee or unto thee? Everybody there could tell Bartimaeus was blind. But Jesus said, I want you to tell me what you want me to do. I want you to specifically say the need that you have. See, when we recognize what our need is and we go to God specifically saying, God, I cannot help myself. God, I need you. Specifically, help me with this. It shows that we have faith in God and gives God the chance to have glory in finishing or doing what we've asked. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He asked for the supernatural. He asked for the thing that only God can do. And it says in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking that you work in people's hearts and lives. Lord, I've been reminded over and over in my life how much I need you. I don't just need a part of you. I don't just need you part of the time. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to be preeminent in my life. day by day, moment by moment, Lord, how much I need you, but also how much all of us need you. Help us understand, help us to see how desperate Bartimaeus was for you, to help us to also have that same desire and that desperateness to be close to you and not to let other things get in our way, but instead focus on you. Lord, there's so many areas of our lives that we need you in, especially first and foremost is salvation. Not going to get to heaven without Jesus. Lord, I pray if there's someone this morning that doesn't know that, or has not put their faith and trust in them, they would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get started here. Point number one, understanding our need. Understanding our need. Now, I think if we were honest with ourselves, we could see this blind man, he had a great need. He was desperate. He had probably, if he was, we don't know if he was born blind, we don't know anything really about him, but we know he's on the side of the road, not because he's trying to make money and trying to make lots of money. Sometimes you see people holding those signs, and you wonder, should I help, should I not help? I've read stories about people who have made tons of money holding those signs, but I've also read stories about people who are in desperate needs holding those signs. Bartimaeus, don't think that he's trying to get rich off of this. He's sitting on the side of that road in that culture in that day because he had no other hope. But when he heard Jesus was coming, he realized he had a need. That need was something that only Jesus could meet. So the first thing I want you to think is understanding our need. And I want you to see here in Bartimaeus in the story, he cries out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, he's not saying, "Hey, God, you need to come here. Jesus, you need to come here. You need to do what I'm telling you to do." No, he asked for mercy. We need to realize that God is God, and God can do whatever he chooses to. He created this world, and as God, he does treat us with loving kindness. He does treat us with mercy. He does treat us with grace, but he is not expected to do anything for us that is outside the things he has already promised us. We know he does not lie, and he cannot lie, but it's not like we can go around telling God what to do. Bartimaeus understood his need. He understood that Jesus is the only one that could help him, that no one else could help him, no doctor could help him, no individual could help fix his greatest need. He was desperate. He needed to get a hold of God, and he cries out to God, and he says, "God," to Jesus, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And this is the most important point of the message. Do we realize how much we need God? We need God in every area of our life, not just portions of it, but every area. The psalmist says things like this over and over. Psalm 62, 1 and 2, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. For him cometh my salvation. He is my only rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." I read this morning in my devotions. I was thinking, God is my salvation. God is my rock. God is my defense. God is everything that I can turn to, and he is everything that I need. In the book of Judges, over and over, the nation of Israel said, "Hey, I don't need God in every area. I can go ahead and I can live for myself and I can do what I want." And what would happen is God would allow them to get into slavery around the other nations that are around them. And then they would come to the realization, "I cannot live this life in freedom without God. I need God. I need to depend on God." And then the nation of Israel would turn back to God and they would cry out to God, and God would rescue them and save them through a deliverer and through a judge. They came to the realization, the same realization we all must come to, we need God in our lives. Every area of our lives. We can't say, okay, he can be God on Sunday. He can be God on Wednesday. He needs to be God every single day if we truly understand the need that we have. I think this is the point that it's so important, and understand that Bartimaeus got this. I need to get to Jesus. And I think we need to understand that every single day of our lives, we need to get to him. Every single day of our lives, he needs to be important to us and preeminent. We need to be in his word. We need to be crying out, just like Bartimaeus did. He cried out to him. And I wonder how many of us would say, yeah, I understand I need God, but how many of us truly cry out of a desperate need for him? Second thing I want you to think about is not everyone will understand. Not everyone will understand. Look what it says once again here in verse number 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." He's there on the side of the road, and he is begging for Jesus to help him. He's saying, "Jesus, thou son of David," and there are people that are coming to him and saying, be quiet, hold your peace, hold your peace. And they're saying to him, don't you think they should have understood? I mean, to me, if I was there in that crowd, I would like to think, okay, Jesus performed miracles before. There's a blind guy. He needs Jesus. Let me help get it. No, there's going to be people that don't understand. And in your lives, you're going to have to get to this realization. There are going to be people who do not understand your spiritual walk. There are going to be people that understands that need, and they're going to spend time in their Bibles every day. There are going to be people who understand that need, and they're going to be faithful with praying. They're going to be faithful with attending church on a regular basis. They're going to be faithful with their giving. They're going to be faithful in their serving. They're going to do things, and other people are going to look at them and say, "What's wrong with you? You're crazy. I mean, you got to go back to church on Wednesday? You mean you got to go back here and you got to listen to that guy talk and you got to read that book that's written a few thousand years ago?" All those different things. They're not going to understand your walk with God. They're not going to understand your closeness with God. Bartimaeus had a need there that no one else really understood that. Jesus did. And as he's crying out, there are not people saying, "Man, I know how you feel. Let me help you." I want you to get this in this story. We need God in our lives, and sometimes there's going to be other people who look at you and think that you're crazy just because you want to serve God. There are going to be people who don't understand why you want to go back to church, and when there's revival services, why you might want to go to church every single night. They're not going to understand why you want to read your Bible, not just because you're supposed to, because you want to, and that you want to pray before you eat, but also you want to pray throughout the day because you love him and you want to get to know him better. There are going to be people who are going to look at you and say, "I don't get what you're going through." I go back to my testimony a little bit. When I go back home sometimes and I go back to Elkton, I grew up in a little town called Elkton, Maryland. Sometimes I tell somebody I'm a pastor. They ask me, "A pastor of what?" They couldn't imagine I'd be a pastor of a church. Because, you know, even though I did all those things in church, my heart was never really truly close to God like it needed to be. And sometimes when we go out to serve the Lord, sometimes your mates, your children, your brothers and sisters, "You mean you don't do that, or you mean you do that?" It's because you love the Lord. They look at you and like, "What's wrong with you?" And I understand I have a need. That need is to be as close to God as I can be. And not everyone will understand that need. Some people will look at you and say, "You don't have to do that." They'll say, "There's nowhere in the Bible," and you show them things in the Bible, they just don't understand what God has placed upon your heart. Bartimaeus sat there and he cried out and people did not understand his need. I remember that day when God spoke to my heart, I began making changes in my life, began working, doing things in my life. Back then when I was 25 and back in Bible college, and God began to do a work in my heart and life, the people didn't understand. I didn't even understand. But as I surrendered, I said, "Okay, God, not everybody's going to understand, but you know the need I have." Let's keep on going. The third thing is he didn't let things stop him. And it kind of goes along with the second thing, but it says he cried a great, great deal. He cried the more a great deal, verse number 48. And the many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. He didn't let the naysayers stop him. He didn't let them say, "Hey, you be quiet. You don't have to do that." He looked past that. He saw his need. And it says that not only did he not listen to them, it says he cried a great deal more. Why is that? Because he knew he had a need. He didn't let anything stop him. He knew he had to get to Jesus. He knew he wanted Jesus to hear him. He knew he wanted Jesus to hear his request. And he knew he had to see him. Nothing was going to stop him. You say, "Well, of course." If I went across the room and asked how many of you guys would say, "Well, how many people agree with the message so far? How many people agree that we need him and we need him to be in every area of our lives and we need him to fill our lives and be a part of our lives?" Most people would say, "Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, then what's stopping us? There are things in our lives that we allow to stop us from getting as close to him as we want to be. One preacher said it, and I say it often, that you're as close to God today as you want to be. He's made everything available to you. You have the Bible, you have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God, you have the avenue of prayer. He's given you everything that you need to be as close to God as you want to be. But many of us don't recognize, point number one, how great a need we have. Bartimaeus was desperate. He cried out to God, and he did not let those obstacles stop him. He didn't let the fact that he was blind. He didn't let the fact that there was a lot of people. He didn't let the fact that people were telling him to be quiet. He didn't let the fact that he had this garment. He didn't let anything stop him. And I want to encourage you today, realize the need, and don't worry because other people might not understand it, but don't let things stop you from getting to him. The fourth thing, and like I said, this is probably my favorite part, is God is willing, able, and available to help us. God is willing, able, and available to help us. Look what it says in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. I don't know about you, but I'm there, and I'm imagining all these people that are around him, and I'm thinking about, you hear this faint cry in the background that probably only the first quarter of the people can hear. The guy's there, and he's crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," and probably saying it over and over. And it says that Jesus, probably at a distance, because he says, you know, having to come here, he stops and he stands still. He's busy. He's on his way to do something, I'm sure. And he stands still. Now, what's exciting part is this, is that this is something that he'll do for us today. It says that, I mean, he's running the world, right? He's God. He does everything. He knows everything. He will stop and stand still and listen to your request. If you have the right heart, you have the right spirit about it, the Bible says that he even, not only will he stand still, he actually tells us. He says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Some people say, well, God must be too busy. God is not interested. God, even though he is in control of all the world, he will stand still today and listen to your issues, your cares, your needs, your desires, your wants. He says in his word to cast your care upon him. Why? Because he has to? No, it's because he careth for you. And he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I don't know about you, but I have some friends who, when I call them on the phone, they don't answer. I know maybe I should get a clue and not call them so much. But they're busy. They got things going on. My oldest son in college, I don't think he misses us at all. We try calling him, he never picks up, doesn't seem like. So I know he's busy doing things, and I know that's great and wonderful, but God's never going to be too busy for you. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, come on, he will stand still and listen to your need today. Whatever it is, he'll stand still and listen to you. Amen. And that, what a wonderful truth there. But the only way he's going to stand still and listen to you is if you realize your need and you don't let things stop, you don't listen to people, but instead you look to God. I like the next part is there are going to be some things that need to be cast away. Some things that need to be cast away. In verse number 50, he says, "And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus." I can picture it. He said, "Be of good cheer. He calleth for you." It says that in verse number 49, "Be of good cheer. Rise. He calleth thee." He says, they come to Bartimaeus. Okay, he's calling for you. Come on. And it says he took off his garment, his outer garment. Now, the outer garment was something special to him. It was maybe his pillow at night, maybe his blanket at night. But he says he got rid of it. He didn't want anything to slow him down to getting to Jesus. He didn't want anything that was going to be in his way. He believed that Jesus was going to do a work in his heart and his life to where he wouldn't need that anymore. And he said he was willing to cast away. He was willing to get rid of it. He said, what does that have to do with the message? Sometimes there's things in our life we need to get rid of in order to be close to Jesus. I mean, what is it that's stopping us? What in our lives is not letting us be as close as God wants us to be? What thing is it? I mean, for some people it may be a hobby. For some people it may be a sport. For some people it may be a job. For some people it might be good things like family, ministry, all those type of things. And it's something that we have let to become an idol or a sin in our lives to become so much that we're not as close to God as we need to be because we've let that take the place of our relationship with God. And when I told you earlier all those different things I did for church and did for God, I wasn't trying to make you look impressed with me. I'm trying to tell you, hey, look, all those things, even though God used them in some ways, but it wasn't the way God could have. I was missing something in all that time. I had gone to church all my life, and I had never really understood this to a point that I need God in every area of my life. I need God not just in my teaching and not just in my preaching. I need God as a father and as a son. I need God on the work job. I need God in all these areas. And I had made a long list of things for many years that everybody says, hey, there's a good Christian young man, but deep inside I was missing and that need that only God could fill, that closeness, that desire to want to know him better, and that friendship and fellowship that I can have along with him. Casting away his garment. We need to get rid of those things that slow us down from knowing him better. Is there something in your life that is causing you to say, I can't spend time with God because I got to do this? And we live such busy lives. For all the things that we have, all the technological advances that are supposed to make our life easier and simpler, seems like we don't have any time left And many of us are impressed if we spend a few moments alone with God in the Bible. But if we understand our need, it's going to be so much more than that. It's going to be, God, I need you. I need to spend the day with you. I need every part of you. Next thing. Jesus wants us to be specific about our need. As I alluded to earlier, he asked the question in verse number 51, what will thou that I should do unto thee? You know, he looks at the blind man, and I can only imagine what the people around Jesus are thinking. He wants to see. He wants his sight. He wants you to make him be able to see. Can't you see that? Now, did Jesus knew he was blind? If everybody around them was smart enough to figure out, don't you think Jesus is smart enough to know it? He's God. He knows it all. But why would Jesus ask him that? And Jesus is teaching us something here, and a truth that's so important that I think sometimes we miss. He wants us to tell him, Lord, I need your help. God, I want you to give me my sight. God, I can't fix this on my own. I can't do this on my own. God, I need your help. So often there's so many things in our lives we think, okay, I can handle this, and I can handle this, and I can handle this, but God, I need you over here. But in the book of Matthew, in the model prayer, what does he say? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. He's not looking for us to say, hey, I need you for the big things, God. I can handle the rest. It's when we come to the realization, I need God in every part of my life, in everything in my life. Even my daily bread is something that God has provided for me. And I want to thank you. And I want to understand that tomorrow I'm depending upon you and trusting in you to take care of me and take care of my needs. And he wants us to be specific about it. Bartimaeus had said, Lord, have mercy on me. And so often we pray our prayers, Lord, be merciful to this family and this thing, or Lord, bless this, bless that. I understand that, but it's not generalities he's looking for. See, when we speak generally and we say, God, show mercy on me, when something good happens, we can turn around and say, oh, was that God or was that me? But when we specifically say, Lord, I want you to answer this prayer in this way, and when God does that, you know who gets the glory then? God does. Praise the Lord. God answered my prayer. God fulfilled my need, and I'm going to give God the glory. No one else can get glory. In that story, no one else could have got glory but Jesus for healing blind Bartimaeus. And we need to be specific. Jesus knew that he had a need. Jesus knows the needs that you have. You say, well, why in the world does God want us to tell us his needs if he knows I have them already? God knows I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Why do I need to tell him? It's because when we go bend a knee or when we bow our head and say, God, I need you, we're showing that our dependence is not on us, it's on him. And I'm saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Now, a blind man sitting on the side of the road and been there probably for years, he's desperate and he understands that. But most of us that have things and don't usually need for bread, we forget that point. But we are just as desperate as he is. We need God just as much as he does. If we want to do God's work, if we want to be blessed by God, if we want to be used by God, we need God's blessing and God's power just as much as Bartimaeus needed God's help to receive his sight. That's understanding the need. It calls us to be desperate and in need of God every day, seeking him, speaking to him, looking for him, asking him. Last but not least, our need is something only God can fix. Our need is something only God can fix. You see that? Well, I like that, where the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And I like the fact that he asked God for something only God can do. Now, for us sometimes, when we come in our requests, we go to God and we ask God for little things. And once again, we said he asked us for daily bread. But in our prayer lives, I don't think we should limit God. I think God can be God. And we should allow God to be God in our lives. He asked Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had a couple of answers. Bartimaeus could have said, Lord, could you give me a new seeing eye dog? Now, there was no seeing eye dogs back then. But, could you give me a new cane? Could you give me a food for the week? He doesn't ask for those things. What does he do? He asks for the thing that only God could do. And he says, God, I want you to do the supernatural in my life. God, I want you to do the hard things in my life. God, I want you to do something in my life so you can get glory for it. And Bartimaeus is there, and he says, that I might receive my sight. It reminds me of that story a few weeks ago with Elisha. Remember, Elijah looked to Elisha and said, you know, what do you want me to do for you? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah responds, you've asked for a hard thing. See, Elijah was asking Elijah, is there something, hey, I can do for you personally before I leave this world? And Elisha looks at you and says, I don't want anything to do with what you can do for me, Elijah. I want only what God can do for me. I want what only God can do. And sometimes with our prayers, we need to learn to ask God for the things that only God can do. We need to be specific, but in our prayers, we need to say, God, I believe that you're God, and I believe you can still save that hard person. I believe you can change that heart. I believe you can heal that person. I believe you can provide that need. Nothing wrong with asking for smaller things, obviously. But we need to ask for things and pray like he's God. What opportunity Bartimaeus would have missed if he turned around and said, Lord, I'm really hungry. Can I have some food? Jesus could heal his blindness, and he's asking for food. How many times when we get on our knees and say, God, help me with this, when God says, I can do so much more in your life. And when we pray for things like revival, people are like, oh, now you can't have a revival day. When we pray for people to get saved, we go, oh, you can't be saved. But it's how are we praying? You ask not because you have not because you ask not. And as much ridiculous as it would have been for Bartimaeus to sit there and say, all I need is a new cane, when in all reality, he needed a complete change. And so many times in our lives, how many times do we pray for the little things? When we have a God that can do the big things. Today, are you getting to Jesus? Is there something stopping you? Bartimaeus, and next week we're going to probably look at a story about someone getting to Jesus. The week after that, we're going to probably talk about bringing a friend to Jesus, all those different things. But as we get ready for our upcoming Friend Day, I want us to ask for things that only God can do. He might say, there's people I would not, people I know that would never come to church. That's the person I want you to pray for. Because they have a need, they just don't see it. Now, obviously, we invite the other ones that might be interested, but we want to pray as blind Bartimaeus did for the thing that only God could do. So that way, God can receive glory for it. Today, do you understand the need? I need Jesus. Do you understand that other people are not going to understand that? Do we see that obstacles get in our way and we need to get rid of those obstacles? But God is willing, able, and available to help us with our need. There may be some things that we have to cast away to get to our need. We need to be specific about our need to him. And we need to ask for only the things that God can do. Now, we've talked a lot about mostly the people who already believe and are believers and talk about getting closer to God. But there's only one way that you can be close to God. Is by being part of his family. You're not getting to heaven on your own. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, I'm the way, truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The greatest need any individual has in their lives is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to be part of the family of God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of that. We're all in need of a Savior, but he's given us his Son as a sacrifice for us. He paid our sin debt for us. And that we need to call upon him. And if you're not sure you're a Christian or on your way to heaven, I'd love to have you come forward in a few minutes and we can have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven, even this morning. But if you are a Christian, let me encourage you. Are you getting to God? Don't let things stop you. We are desperate in our need for him. We need him every day. And he's available. I can imagine, picture God up in heaven doing all these things, and then I just say, and I pray to him. He listens. He hears the cry of his children, those that are nigh to him. And he stops. He does what he listens to me. And what a wonderful thought. Jesus stood still. Now, does he stop doing everything else? He's God. He can do more than one thing at once, obviously. But the Bible says, and that's amazes me. By Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the room, got a hold of Jesus' attention, It's the same way we can get a hold of his attention too. We're never going to do it until we realize we have that great need, and that need is God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, with heads bowed and eyes closed, for a time of invitation.